Hello and welcome to today's KW Feedcast. Today I've got myself, James Barker, product lead for our Straits team. And I'm also joined by Chris Pickles, our raw material buyer for the blends side of the business. Afternoon, Chris.
Afternoon, James.
Today we'll have a quick run through cereals, proteins, and where we see ourselves in the market at the moment, what's coming up on the horizon, and how we see ourselves in the wider picture. Interestingly, there's been quite a bit of volatility to start off with, Chris, on the cereals side of things. So can you just give us a quick overview on the wheat market to start off with?
Yeah, sure. So globally, old crop, there does certainly still feel to be plenty of wheat around, especially the Black Sea, Russia, Ukraine, France as well, still sat on large stocks of old crop cereals and are competing regularly for business on large global tenders. Those areas, your Black Sea and France, competing into the North African countries, and then Argentina and the US competing into the Far East. Prices over the last probably 8 weeks have been on a pretty steady downward trajectory. With each passing week and each passing tender, we've seen prices ebbing lower and plenty of competition for business. This all being despite the fact that Russia and Ukraine are still going hammer and tong with the ongoing war. We've seen an escalation of that in the last week, 10 days. Doesn't seem to have impacted the actual physical tons of exports just yet, but has put a significant amount of risk back in the marketplace and has served to push futures up, being led by Chicago wheat, which North America is also experiencing a particularly dry period at the moment across much of the wheat areas. So Chicago moving higher has dragged the French Natif market and the London wheat futures higher as a result.
We've seen those futures, Chris, haven't we? Sort of trading in range bound for a couple of weeks here in the UK, kind of between 160 and 165, but we really pushed higher, didn't we, on the May futures last week, although it seems to have settled down again a little bit just as we started this week, really. So
yeah, there was quite the reaction last week to the escalation in the Black Sea. We saw old crop London wheat move up about £15 a tonne and new crop move up about £20 a tonne. That has, to some extent, fed through into domestic prices, but domestic trade has been really rather thin. Despite there being plenty of wheat locked up in barns and certainly left there still to sell, sellers are very few and far between. The want to sell is just not there at the moment. I think a lot of wheat is originating from your kind of South Midlands M4 and travelling around the country. That's really pushing the spot premiums up for delivered wheat, for the physical wheat. We're seeing quite the premium at the moment, and depending on where you're trying to buy in the country, your areas, especially the north of England, has pushed up prices quite significantly recently. Feels like sellers are there if they're looking for the cash, but at the moment, that there's not really too much of a requirement for that. So the grain is locked in the barns and waiting for a better price in future months at the moment.
Probably seeing a bit of a premium then, are we, Chris, on the actual product over the futures price? Is that fair to say at the moment?
Yes, we certainly are. Less so the further forward you go, less of a premium, but certainly in the here and now, in the spot, there very much is. And that probably leads us on nicely, James, to some of the other co-products that track these futures. What's been going on with those recently?
Yeah, so tracking these futures, Chris, we've got a few opportunities, things like biscuit meals and your breads, which actively trade as a percentage of the futures. So whilst there is this risk premium involved in the physical wheat and the futures markets at the moment, to take advantage and get some of your exposed positions covered on your forwards, especially bread and biscuit meals, we've got good opportunities at prices that look decent value, in my opinion. We've also got things like maize core over on the east of the country competing with Daxa on the west of the country. So, you know, opportunities there to get some cover on and take advantage of these levels. But be aware that if this volatility continues, those prices won't remain forever. So we have been actively encouraging a bit of cover there, and it has been taken up. So good news, I think, people taking risk out of their rations and diets, really.
Definitely, so, yeah. Feel like so, we might not be at the bottom. We've bounced from the bottom now, but it's still a good opportunity to get some cover with the potential for upside risk far greater than the downside risk at the moment, yeah, on these cereal based products.
We've had a couple of little messages, haven't we, Chris, around the technical aspects of the wheat future as well, and showing that it might be towards the bottom of the market at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. And when just spinning off from wheat, barley as well, the general fundamentals are quite similar. Lack of sellers. Barley trading roughly at the minute, £20, give or take, discount to wheat. There's plenty around. And when you look further out to new crop prospects for barley, the winter barley acres down, give or take, 22%, DEFRA figures suggesting. There's expected to be quite the increase in the spring planted acres. So barley, spring barley, likely to be up about 29% in the early indications, though acknowledging the fact that at the moment the weather is far from conducive to getting those spring acres in. But we could see that discount barley over wheat might grow as we move further towards new crop if the barley acres do get in the ground and the crop's looking larger. On the subject of acres, James, I think, is there a big report out tomorrow evening?
Yep, we've got the USDA planting intentions report, which will show basically, I think the hot topic in America at the moment has been the reduced acreage on the potential for corn and increase into soya for the next season. Obviously, corn at the moment have been trading at pretty low levels, and people obviously looking at the crush margins, looking to fill in what they're going to be planting next season. So looking like the figures we're gaining, I'm just looking at them now, suggesting we're going to be somewhere between 2.5 and 3 million acres down on corn next year, which potentially brings a little bit of tightness back into the market there. We've seen prices, if you look at the UK's ground maize price, for example, we've seen that come down around 80 to 90 pound this season based on such great supply and lack of demand. But that could just tighten up with Thursday night's report. Just got to be careful there. That said, that's a slightly bearish outlook for soya meal again, but just on the corn, maize, etc., just please just be aware we are expecting that to tighten up in the next 24-48 hours for the picture for the next 6 to 9 months. So might just be near the bottom of your market on the cereals as well. That just leads a little bit nicely onto proteins. I haven't done too much soya meal this week. Markets have been very steady, and there is still that bearish outlook, in my opinion, on the forward soyas. It's just waiting on a little bit of tightness at the moment on vessels into the UK. So end of March has been particularly tight. There is availability going into April. And the big concern is always around that ASA May period. When will the new crop start to arrive? But things I'm hearing is that possibly be within the first couple of weeks of the month. So that suggests to me that there's plenty of soya on the way, a slightly bearish outlook, not necessarily the thing to be too concerned with just at the moment. But going into the mid-proteins, Chris, we've had some excitable numbers being sent our way on rate prices at the moment. A little bit of a background story. Obviously, Chris mentioned a little bit there with the Ukraine and Russia situation. The Western European farmers have been very reluctant to accept Ukrainian imports, so they have been putting on certain tax levels, or certainly talking about it at the moment, which has really tightened up supply in the UK as our crushers either seem to be happy fixing the current customers' usage with what they've got sold, but are also having to help out the crush partners in Europe as the crushers in the EU look to switch to Sawyer and Sons. So prices on the nearby have increased somewhere in the region between £25 to £40 a ton on rate meal in the UK over the last 5-6 trading days. Not seen hikes like that for a little while now. It's been in a very bearish market as prices have remained particularly low. That rate meal now suddenly starting to go out of people's minds as it reaches somewhere between 75% and 80% against the value of soya.
It's starting to kind of almost price itself out, isn't it, a little bit, that at the rate meal. What other products have we got that could well start to try and compete a bit more and fill that gap?
We've still certainly got plenty of Expeller, Chris, from the site in Stratford, alongside NovaPro. So you've got your home-based, home-produced material there, which can fill the gap, and I would say at very competitive levels. Give us a shout if you've got any interest there. We can certainly look to be on the right side of that extract price. You've got NovaPro as your protected grape. Again, all the same sustainability positives. We've still got stuff to go out of Vivergo available to us, the odd load of Vivergo meal for those that can take the meal at good value levels.
Not seen anything like the kind of bounce in those prices of the Expeller or the NovaPro, have we, as we've seen in the rape extract over the last week or so. So no opportunity there for sure.
Whether it's overdone or not is a pretty hot topic in the market at the moment, and whether we get through Easter, traditionally this 4-day spell that everyone forgets about and panics about in terms of fixings and availability, will that have an effect as we go into the start of the middle of April, and we'll will a bit more liquidity and traction come into the market. Despite these prices being listed, we're not hearing any trade whatsoever at the moment. So one to certainly keep an eye on. But as you say, people that haven't got cover and can switch out will be doing at the moment. But there's still opportunities in there. So we must remain positive. We can look for that alternative solution. Have you got any other products, Chris, you're looking at the moment?
I think you've covered the vast majority of them. I guess we've not really touched much on fibres. At the moment, the price of soy hulls has dropped quite significantly over the last probably fortnight to a month, falling from levels, talking export, in the mid-160s. We're now, in some areas of the country, sub-140 export for soy hulls. That's for the spot and right the way through the summer. So soy hulls as a fibre source are definitely the maybe not so much in demand, but the price has certainly come down to what's proven an attractive level for some. There's a bit of an uptick in inquiries for those recently. Have you seen the same on your side, James?
Yeah, definitely on hulls. They've just started to come back into having not been talked about for what felt like months. We've seen the price come down from the, from early 200s to early 140s, even at one point at late 130s export. So does just get it onto farm. Opportunity there, especially while sugar beet is still tough as we just come out of this, out of the winter season. But I dare say there may be a summer offer in there on the sugar beet as well. If anyone's requiring anything, please get in touch. I don't think I've got too much else, Chris, for today, other than to say keep your eye on these markets over Easter with plenty of reports and opportunities for the next direct in the market, really, from a fundamental point of view. Obviously, we're still watching out for the El Nino and La Nina weather patterns that are developing at the moment. So, I'd say at the moment, we're ticking along, but there's an opportunity for our next direction after this weekend.
We've covered all the bases then, James. Thank you very much for your time.
Yep.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, Chris. Catch up with you soon.
Cheers.